You want it all? All okay? Enjoying a little bit of sunshine? Great. Well, it's been great to be here this morning. My name is Simon, as Joe said. I'm the associate vicar here. I know many, but it's great to have some new people with us again today. Welcome to you if this is your first time at St. Mark's. Do stick around afterwards for a coffee. We'd love to catch up. Today's passage on the I Am series that we are going through at the moment, the context that it sits within is Jesus has just healed a man who was born blind. Everyone knew this man and his parents, so no one could deny the miracle of the healing. But as Jesus healed him on a Sabbath day, it caused much debate, as it was against the law to work on the Sabbath. And apparently healing was work back then. So despite Jesus doing a wonderful, miraculous act, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, protested that Jesus must have used demonic power to allow this man to see, as no faithful Jew would do any sort of work on the Sabbath. Then chapter 10 immediately starts with Jesus speaking to the Pharisees about the different relationships with the people of Israel, using the metaphors of a shepherd, a flock of sheep, a hired hand, and a thief. Now this may seem strange to us, these roles, but the religious leaders at the time considered themselves as shepherds of Israel in a spiritual sense. Kings and prophets and leaders were all spoken of as being like shepherds for the people of Israel, helped by the fact that their greatest king, David, was an actual shepherd in his youth. And he went on to lead Israel with wisdom and kindness. And Israel grew in strength, safety, and influence under his leadership. Today's leadership books speak of very different things. How to make your first £1 million. How to find success in 7 days. How to lead people towards your vision. How to reach the top of your career. There aren't many books these days calling senior leaders to be good shepherds. The closest is Simon Sinek's Leaders Eat Last book, which is a fantastic book about putting our staff and our team members first and putting them above ourselves. It even speaks of dying for them. So if you want a good leadership book written by a non-Christian, but with more biblical content than most Christian authors who are writing about leadership at the moment, Leaders Eat Last is the book to read. But for the Pharisees, shepherds and sheep were typical metaphors used in their language, in their leadership language. So to keep the Pharisees engaged, Jesus started talking about shepherding and taking care of sheep. Using shepherding metaphors, he spoke about himself being the good shepherd, about the people of Israel being the sheep, about the Pharisees being the hired hand, and the false teachers and prophets being the thieves and robbers. And it's within this context that we hear the two I am statements from Jesus that we are looking at today. I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd. As we look closer at the actions of the good shepherd, we'll discover four characteristics of who Jesus is and how they relate to us and our relationship with him today. To help you remember these, I've come up with, they all begin with the letter P. And before anyone says, could I have a P please, Bob? I'll continue straight into what the four P's are. Protector, personal, proceeder, and provider. You see, in verses 1 to 2, it says that Jesus stops the predators from getting to the sheep. So he's our protector. Verse 3 says, he calls each sheep by name. So he is personal with us. Verse 4 says that he leads the sheep out and goes ahead of them. So he proceeds ahead and leads us. And verse 9 says, he takes his sheep to the pasture where they are given life to the full. So he is our provider, protector, personal, proceeder, provider. And I know, to be honest, proceed is not the greatest word, but it's the only word I can come up with that begins with P that had a slight connotation towards leading. So roll with me on that. But before we look at these characteristics of Jesus, let's first look at who Jesus suggests we are as sheep. And it's not much of a compliment, I must warn you. First, because let's face it, sheep are pretty dumb animals. Did you know that sheep won't drink from moving water, like from a stream or a river? They will only drink water that is still and not moving. Amazingly, they will actually choose to die from thirst rather than drink from a moving stream, because they fear that running water will drown them as they can't swim very well. Does this remind you of anything? To me, it echoes the line in Psalm 23 that says, "He leads me beside still waters." We realize from this that Jesus leads his flock, his people, to still waters. Not because it's peaceful, but because it's the only place where they can drink and be refreshed and replenished by water. So sheep are easily frightened. Secondly, they are completely defenseless. There's nothing they can do to defend themselves. They can't run away because they have these little short legs to try and escape. They wear layers and layers of woolly jumpers, which must slow them down. They can't growl or bite or raise up and back legs to be bigger than they are. They just lay down and wait to be attacked. So it seems a little rude to be labelled as sheep, I think. And yet, this wasn't a mistake that Jesus later regretted. As the metaphor of humanity being a flock of sheep continues all through the Bible. Why? Because sheep are entirely dependent on their shepherd. And this is the kind of relationship that Jesus wants with us. One of complete dependence on him. Also, some characteristics of sheep are genuinely like us. They form deep and lasting bonds with each other. They stick up for one another in fights. They grieve when they lose a friend. They are emotional and relational beings. And they are expert followers. Sometimes for good and sometimes for not so good, as they wander off following the wrong things, much like us. So by Jesus calling us sheep, he's saying he wants to be in a relationship with us. So knowing who we are in this metaphor, let's now look to who Jesus is as he proclaims, "I am the gate and I am the good shepherd." And let's start with Jesus as the gate as we look at this first characteristic of being a protector. In biblical times, shepherds would stay with their sheep day and night. And because they needed to protect their sheep, they would build a sheepfold for the night time when there was a higher risk of attack from pet predators and thieves. The shepherd would stack up rocks. You can see the picture there of a pen. They would stack up rocks on top of each other and branches to create a pen with walls 8 to 10 feet tall, so just a little bit taller than me. If possible, they would find some thorns, some prickly thorns, and lay them on the top of the wall to stop anyone trying to climb over the walls into the pen. And they would leave one single opening in the fence, providing a way in and the way out. But shepherds still needed to sleep. So they would lie down in the open gap in the fence to stop the predators from getting in and wandering sheep from getting out. Like you can see in the picture, you can see the shepherd by the gate. Which is why Jesus says in verse 7, "I am the gate for the sheep." The shepherd closed the gap in the fence with his body becoming the door, becoming the gate, in and out of the pen. Jesus was saying, I am the protector of my flock, those who know me and follow me, and I will stop the predators from harming you. Verse 9 builds on this, saying, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. As the gate protects and saves the sheep, so Jesus protects and saves us from danger. And more importantly, saves us from our sin. How does he do this? Well, enter the good shepherd. Jesus said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So a good shepherd would risk his life for the safety of the sheep, much like King David did when lions and bears came and took his sheep away from his flock. And David went on, chased them and fought them to get the sheep back. But in reality, Jesus goes even further as he laid down his life for us. Jesus said in verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my accord. Jesus' life wasn't lost in battle or taken away from him in some way. He willingly gave it up for us. We are so important to Jesus that he laid down his life for us, not metaphorically, but actual reality. Anyway, Jesus then puts this sheeping metaphor onto the shoulders of the Pharisees, suggesting that they don't lay down their lives for their followers. He said to them in verse 12 and 13, the hired hand to the Pharisees is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away, and because he is a hard hand and cares nothing for his sheep, for the sheep. This is bad shepherding. And Jesus points the finger straight to the Pharisees, the hired hands, who initially came across as good until trouble came, at which point they ran away to protect themselves and left the sheep vulnerable and in danger. So as the gate and as a good shepherd, Jesus is our protector. Secondly, he's personal. Verse 3 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Sometimes multiple shepherds shared the same sheep pen. The sheep weren't separated or given fixed areas in the pen. They all merged together. Then when it came to leave, the shepherd would simply call their sheep by name, and they would leave the pen and follow him as they recognized his voice. My daughter Ella, who you know, has a hamster called Nibbles. And last week she bought him one of these balls to walk around in. You can see it there in the ball. Now, if I called, it enables Nibbles basically walk around the house. He's not so good with stairs at the moment, but certainly on the ground floor, he walks around. And if I say, come on, Nibbles, come to me, Nibbles, he does nothing. Doesn't respond at all. But when Ella says, come on, Nibbles, come to me, he turns and he responds. And he goes towards Ella, and he follows her around the house as she's saying, come on, Nibbles, come to me. Even if I use the right name, Nibbles, he still doesn't respond to me, as it's just the word, not just the word he listens for, but the voice. Nibbles knows Ella's voice and responds. In the same way, sheep won't go near anyone they don't know. Even if they call the right name, the sheep by the right names, the sheep won't follow them. Only the voice of the shepherd who loves them and cares for them causes them to respond personally to the call to follow. Verse 4 then says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. The good shepherd didn't need a sheepdog to keep the sheep in order. The sheep didn't need a push from behind to move them on. The shepherd would simply walk ahead, calling them by name. And they would follow him, because it's the voice of the shepherd that they trust. God calls each one of us by name. It's personal. You may not hear the tangible voice, but the more we spend time with Jesus in prayer and worship and scripture and fellowship, the more we recognize his voice in our lives. A soft stirring in our spirit and mind. And it's personal to each one of us. It's not that God loves everyone, which he clearly does, but that God loves you and he loves me. So Jesus is our protector and he is personal. Thirdly, he's our preceder. By this I mean that Jesus goes ahead of us and leads us from the front. Verse 4 says, when he, the shepherd, has brought out all his own from the pen, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him. To do this, we have to learn to follow well, which means we need to know who the leader is and whether they can be trusted. Now, I once organised a men's night walk, about a 12-mile walk with about 20 men. And we left at dusk with our head torches and planned to finish about 12:30 at night. However, during the last section of the walk, I decided to go to the back of the group to speak to some of the men who had fallen behind, to encourage them that we're almost home. Keep going, we're almost there. Then after about 45 minutes, I realised that we were still far off home. So I returned to the front to discover that the route my friend knew was one to his house, which was in a different town and nowhere near the end point of the church. By habit, he had turned right when we should have turned left, and with that, we didn't get back until 1:30 in the morning. My life lesson that evening was leading from the back doesn't work. However encouraging we may be, we must lead from the front. So we have to learn to follow well, which means follow the one who knows where they're going. Sadly, many of us follow the ways of the world and end up lost and beaten like the prodigal son in Luke 15, who squandered his inheritance and lost everything. If we follow Jesus, we are following the one who knows all things and loves to share them with us. By leading us, he goes before us in all things, meaning every challenge and every trial we face in life, he goes before us and journeys with us. Jesus wants us to believe in him and follow him, as he has good plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future, as Jeremiah said, plans to provide for us. Which leads me into the last characteristic of Jesus. He's our provider. Jesus said in verse 9, they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God will provide, but all too often we forget that he is our provider, and we try to provide for ourselves through our own effort. The thieves and robbers entice us to think that we can do life on our own without Jesus. They try to deceive us in many different ways. Matthew 7 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And Paul warns the Ephesians in Acts 20 about savage wolves destroying the flock, meaning false teachers will try to deceive new believers away from the gospel message that Paul had been teaching. But here we see that Jesus offers to take care of our lives, like the good shepherd leads his sheep to the pasture where there is life in abundance. Do you need to remember today that God is for you, not against you? He wants to give you an extravagant and abundant life because Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. We are to lay down our lives, not try to control them. We are to submit to the loving provision of God and trust him. As we come into land, I just want to ask, are you needing any form of protection or provision today? Do you need to say help? I've read recently that the word help is the bravest thing we can ever say. It went on to say that asking for help isn't giving up, it's refusing to give up. Prayer ministry will be available at the front and the back this morning if you would like to be prayed for. Come and ask for help today if you need it, whatever it might be. Also, God is calling you by name. He's wanting you to step out and follow him so he can lead you in new life. Maybe you are sensing that you are a little bit comfortable where you are in the pen, but God is calling you out to follow him again. If that's you, we would love to pray for you this morning. But while the gate and the good shepherd reveal who Jesus is, they also reveal who we should be. The Bible instructs us to be like Jesus. So we're called to protect those in danger, to be personal in coming alongside others, to proceed and lead others to Jesus, and to provide for those in need. We'd love to pray for you this morning. If any of that resonates, or if there's some other need that you have, please do come and ask for prayer. Should we pray? Or should we stand, if you're able? Father God, we've learned that you are the good shepherd who laid down his life for us so that we might live and live life to the full. Thank you that you offer this out of your own kindness, not through anything we might do, but because you love us unconditionally. Father, we thank you. And we pray now, would you come by your Holy Spirit to fill us afresh again? Reveal something of you to us this morning.